الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, we continue with our discussion on the condition of the people in the grave. And we had previously said, per the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, that Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah believe that people will be tested in their grave. And the last thing we were discussing was whether the young children and majanin, what is majnoon? Crazy people, insane. Crazy is more street-like and insane is more professional, I guess. Insane people, whether they will be tested or not. And we had conflicting opinions among the scholars. Some of them say, well, they're not responsible, so the questioning is concerning what? And some of them said they just fall under the general concept that people will be tested and they will be tested. So the ulama said, وَقَالَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِنَّ الْمَجَنِينَ وَالصِّغَارِ لَا يُسْأَلُونَ لِأَنَّهُمْ غَيْرَ مُكَلَّفِينَ. So some of the ulama said that they will not be questioned because they're not held accountable yet. Mukallaf is someone who is expected to carry out the commandments of the Quran and the Sunnah. غير مكلف, someone who's not held responsible, doesn't have the obligation to carry them out because of some excuse. Sleeping, رفع القلم عن ثلاث, we said the pen has been lifted, عليكم السلام أهلا. From three, the boy until he reaches the age of discretion or puberty, the insane person until he gains back his sanity, and the sleeping person until he wakes up. وَإِذَا كَانُوا غَيْرَ مُكَلَّفِينَ فَإِنَّهُ لَا حِسَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ. So then if they're not held accountable, there's no accountability for them. إِذْ لَا حِسَابَ إِلَّا عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ مُكَلَّفًا يُعَاقَبْ عَلَى الْمَعَاصِي. Since accountability is only expected upon the one who may be punished for committing sins. وَهَؤُلَاءِ لَا يُعَاقَبُونَ. These will not be punished. وَلَيْسَ لَهُمْ إِلَّا الثَّوَابِ. They will only get the reward, as we explained last week. إِنْ عَمِلُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا يُثَابُونَ عَلَيْهِ. If they do righteous deeds, they will be rewarded for them accordingly. إِذَنْ خَرَجَ مِنْ قَوْلِ الْمُؤَلِّفِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ النَّاسِ. So then excluded from the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, verily people will be tested in a grave, we will have to exclude
insane.
طيب, we'll begin from the end. Insane,
the children
before
reaching puberty,
martyrs, prophets, Siddiqeen. Hey, alhamdulillah. And a right answer. Five, right? Al-Anbiya, Al-Siddiqoon, Al-Shuhada, Wal-Sighar, Wal-Majaneen. And the Shaykh explained why these will be excluded from this testing in the grave because of the previous mentioned evidences. إذن خرج عن قول من قول المؤلف رحمه الله فإن الناس خمسة أصناف الأنبياء والصديقون والشهداء والمرابطون. Remember مرابطون also. ومن لا عقل له, we said مرابطون الشهداء because they almost in the same category. ومن لا عقل له كالمجانين والصبيان, and those who have no intellect, they don't have the rationalism, I guess, like the youngsters and the insane people. تنبيه. Now notice, pay attention. الناس ثلاثة أقسام. People are divided into three main categories. Who can tell us who they are without looking in the book, if you have the book? What are the main three categories of human beings? Even jinn. Yes? A human being is either A or B or C. We're not speaking about skin color or hairstyle.
Life.
Okay, Jama'a. Ishfi. What do you guys hear?
Gender.
Huh?
Gender.
Gender? Human beings, man. In terms of faith.
Yeah. Believer, disbeliever.
Believer,
disbeliever, hypocrite.
Hey, believers, disbelievers, and hypocrites. Right. مؤمنون خلص. Pure sincere believers ومنافقون hypocrites وهذان القسمان يفتنون. The Shaykh said these two will be tested in a grave. The believers, ultimate believers, and the hypocrites. Specifically the hypocrites, because it's related to them, as we will see. والثالث كفار خلص, pure disbelievers. ففي فتنتهم خلاف. Concerning them being tested, there's a difference of opinion among the scholars. وقد رجح ابن القيم رحمه الله في كتاب الروح أنهم يفتنون. And ابن القيم had favored the position that they will be tested. The reason why they lean towards the idea that they will not be tested, because the nature of the question is مَنْ رَبُّكَ and whatever, and the guy is on a whole other note. It's not Allah, it's not the Prophet ﷺ, it's not the deen of Islam. So they're on a whole religion, different God, different religion, different prophet, and they may not even believe in a prophet. So they say there's no point in testing. But Ibn al-Qayyim, based on the general principle, said no, they will also be tested. And obviously he will give the wrong answers for everyone. So if he's a Christian and ask him who's your Lord, he will say Jesus, right? And so on and so forth. What's your religion? Christianity, and so on and so forth. So Ibn al-Qayyim favored that, but that's not an ijma'. What is ijma' in English?
Consensus.
Consensus. With a kin sound, as opposed to consensus. Consensus. Pronunciation is important, because the English language is a pronunciation-based language. Phonetics is critical in the language. You, for example, some people say divorce. And really, the closest word you think of is diverse. D-I-V-E-R-S-E. Something diverse, meaning has various tracks. Something that is not limited. Diverse culture, meaning mixed culture, people from different backgrounds. So if you're speaking to someone and they don't understand what you're saying, and the closest word that they, because there's no English pronunciation, whether American, British, Canadian, Australian, that say divorce. There are some words that have a variation between the different accents, no problem. But none of them say divorce. That's a subcontinent thing, and or Arab thing also. So we can't. Why? Because there's another word close in its sound that may you know, and when you're given da'wah, you have to be very, very, very technical. So if you're speaking all the time, divorce, and the people say, well, divorce, what is he talking about? They may lose the whole point, really. This happens very often because of mispronouncing a particular word. So we need to get our English actually intact because of the da'wah. Not so you can become super special, even though in the dunya you will benefit a lot if you have the English language, but really for da'wah purposes, we need to know how to pronounce words. Because if you say warship, there's something, by the way, called a warship. A ship they use at war. And you sit and they tell the people, warship, they're like, man, these guys are military. And the word is warship. War. Not war, because war is war. And worship is a whole other word. Really, these things may confuse the audience. They may get the wrong message if you wind up pulling a few of these stunts. Not all the time. Usually they understand from the context, but you never know. So we need to work on these things. So what was the word we were discussing anyways?
Consensus.
Beautiful. So consensus is ma. Now the Shaykh said, وَهَلْ تُسْأَلُ الْأُمَمُ السَّابِقَةِ Will the previous nations be questioned? ذهب بعض العلماء وهو الصحيح أن إلى أنه يسألون. Some of the ulama, and he said this is the correct opinion, went to the or favored the position that they will be questioned. What do they mean by previous nations? What do we mean by that?
Christian.
Those who came before the advent of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. لأنه إذا كانت هذه الأمة وهي أشرف الأمم تسأل فمن دونها من باب أولى. This is very important. How did they conclude that they will be tested? Through analogy. Qiyas. They said, look, the Muslim Ummah is ultimately the most honorable. And if the most honorable Ummah will be tested, then anyone who is lesser than them, then this should be the case more so. Yani, if someone who is in high position is going to be questioned, then anyone who is lower than him, by default, should be questioned. Otherwise, it doesn't work this way. Excuse me. So, since Muslims will be questioned, then you won't expect others to be able to get away with it. And this is a very strong approach. قولهم في قبورهم جمع قبر Qabr. Now we're analyzing the statements of Shaykh Rasab ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. These people will be tested, الناس يفتنون في قبورهم. They will be tested in their graves. Qubur is the plural of qabr. Now you notice that it ends with ha meem. Why? Why don't we say يفتنون في قبور? Why قبورهم? And what do these two, if we want to call them a ضمير or a pronoun, what do they stand for?
Whom?
Whom? What does it stand
for? The
whom? Which one indicates plurality? The meme. The meme. And the ha is referring to them. That's why if you were to say one person's grave, you say
who?
Fi? Fi? One grave. Fi? Qabrihi. Ahsant. Fi qabrihi. Now because of the fi, it ends with a kasra. Because that's what that preposition fi does. Fi qabrihi. Sah? حجار مجرور. Allah, the Arabic is evaporating and with the sun outside it seems. Huh? ما في مشكلة. في قبره. The ha is a pronoun which in English is his. The his pronoun his is actually the ha in Arabic. Now when we have plural, it became في قبوري still ري him. The ha is still referring to the pronoun, the one speaking about the meme, indicates plurality. It denotes plurality. So now when you read the Quran and you come across these expressions, you should become familiar with them. Right? Who can give us an ayah or a word in the Quran which denotes this plurality with that pronoun? قلوبهم في yes there is
graves, you know, going to graves حتى زرتم المقابر.
ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر. No. أمعاءهم. أمعاءهم. أي وسقوا صح ماء حميما فقطع أمعاءهم. أيوة. They will be given a hot, boiling, scalding water that will rip up their abdominals, their stomachs. أمعاءهم. ما شاء الله. Anything else from the last surah? The last surah at the end of the Quran. Think of them. Anyone, it doesn't matter. Or any plurality, not necessarily the whom. For example, if you say kalla sayalam, what does it mean? If you say kalla sayalam, thumma kalla sayalam, what does it mean? They know? Then what's the point of sayalamun? Sayalam is for the singular. Nay, he will know. When Allah said kalla sayalamun, now the wow is denoting plurality. They will come to know. Then verily, surely, without a doubt, they will come to know. Right? Ila akhiri. So these things you need to know. So you will know it when you listen to the Quran or when you read the Quran, you'll be able to identify who's the audience that Allah is speaking to. Because there are times where Allah is speaking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya ayyuhan nabi, and he will speak to him in the singular, right? Alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa wa wajadaka dallan. If it was in the plural, it would be a whole other usage of words. Alam yajidkum dallin fa'awakum, right? Notice the difference now. Alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa wa wajadaka dallan fa'ada wa wajadakum dallin fa'hadakum. If had it been that Allah is addressing all of the Muslims, but that speech is particular to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the other hand, you will come across ayat where the plural is used, and you know, then it is Allah addressing usually the Muslims if it's mu'minun, or the kuffar if it's kafirun or mushrikun or what have you. Yeah, the Arabic language is a must for someone to understand Islam. Otherwise, no matter how many English books you read or Urdu, whatever, alhamdulillah, you will gain knowledge, but you will not get to the depth of it. You will remain at the surface always and forever. Because without the language, the deen cannot truly be understood. So this is why you need to exert an equal effort in acquiring the Arabic language if you really want to get somewhere. If you just want to learn enough to make it to Jannah, alhamdulillah, you may not really need it because now everything has been translated. But if you want to become someone involved in da'wah, someone who really is grounded in knowledge, and that knowledge you wish to share with your family members, with your relatives, with the community, then the language is a must. Otherwise you will get lost somewhere along the lines. So yani, be more keen inshallah on getting that language from Dr. Yahya or whoever's teaching in the class. Eh? See, it's in the Fatiha. An'amta alayhim, not alayhi or alayka or ila akhri. Alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim. All these are in the plural. Barakallah fiq. طيب إذن قبور في قبورهم جمع قبر, the plural of قبر, the grave, graves. وهي مدفن الأموات, it is the place where the dead are buried, the place where the dead are buried. والمراد ما هو أعم, however what is intended is more general than that. Who can guess why? يعني the people will be tested in the grave. And the grave is the place where someone is buried. But really we're not trying to be that specific. Why? Why do we not want to confine it to the grave? What are other possibilities?
Some people are burning.
Some people are burning? No, English wise. Is that correct to use the present continuous?
Cremation.
Forget it. You said some people are burning?
Burnt.
Hey, burning, you know, indicates continuity. And so that doesn't make sense. Continuity, actually. This is the principle for this one. As opposed to continually. When you say continuity, you no longer say continuity, you say continuity. Very complicated English language. But ماشي حالة. Where was I? Yeah, because some people are burnt, alive, and then the wind blows, and they're gone. And among many of the kuffar, some of which I personally knew, they, wallahi, they had the remains of their grandparents in a container, in a jar.
Ashes.
Yeah, they kept them at home. Like, you know, this is my grandma. What? What do you think people are joking? They're dead serious, man. And the list goes on. Someone can be devoured by some predator, you know, animals.
Vulture, you know, there's bird.
Okay.
Vulture.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Foxes, you know, they have a well. They hang the body.
Aywa.
The vultures come and eat
until everything is gone. Or a whale may swallow someone. A shark may eat them up. An alligator, crocodile. Yes. The list goes on. So the Shaykh said, now good, you guys have guessed it correctly. The Shaykh said, then we really, فَيَشْمَ الْبَرْزَخِ, then we say, we not really want to be stuck with the grave. It includes the interval. Barzakh is that life in between. Yeah. Yani they're at that life, and in that life in between they will be tested. Whether we physically place them in a grave, or they never make it to the grave, that doesn't matter anymore.
He makes it to the earth, right? Somehow or the other.
We will see. That barzakh is that stage between the death of the person and the establishment of the hour. That's the barzakh. So the English word which renders that meaning more or less is interval. Some say call it the life in between. Whatever, it's all يعني the ساعة في الموضوع. سواء دفن الميت أو أكلته السباع في البر أو الحيتان في البحر أو أتلفته الرياح. Irrespective whether that deceased was buried, whether he was ate by predatory animals, whether he was eaten by whales, or whether he was consumed or blown away by the winds, it doesn't matter. Some storm came and took him away, like in tornadoes that happens often, and the person is totally gone. Or floods, they may never retrieve the bodies. They may never be able to get them back. والظاهر أن الفتنة لا تكون إلا إذا انتهت الأحوال الدنيوية. The Shaykh said, from the apparent understanding of the text, that testing will not occur until the affairs of the worldly life have been concluded. وَسُلِّمَ إِلَى عَالَمِ الْآخِرَةِ And this person has been delivered to the life to come. فَإِذَا تَأَخَّرَ دَفْنُهُ يَوْمًا أَوْ أَكْثَرَ لَمْ يَكُنِ السُّؤَالِ حَتَّى يُدْفَنَ So if there is a delay in burial, then that questioning will not occur until he is buried. If the person is going to be buried. If they're gone totally, then this is with Allah. It becomes from the unseen. We cannot say yay or nay. We cannot, because it's ilmul ghaib. But if the person is dead and they are still in the hospital waiting for the paperwork to finish and what have you, based on the apparent meaning of the text, then the questioning will not take place until that body has been buried. Now Allah knows who will be buried eventually, who will never be buried. And so this khalas becomes beyond our ability to identify. And we're not expected to do so either. You know, we submit to Allah. There are things that are beyond our perception. This is one of them. The Shaykh said, قَوْلُهُ فَيُقَالُ لِلْرَجُلِ It will be said to the man, Al-Qa'il, the one saying that Malakan. Now let's go back to the language. Malakan. What is Malakan? What is Malakan linguistically? What is the singular? Malak. طيب, plural. Malaika. Then what in the world is Malakan?
Dual.
It doesn't exist in English. The only term they have is both. Both of them came. In Arabic we have something called Muthan. Muthanna. The dual. Walad, one boy. Waladan, two boys. Awlad, many boys. Bint, one girl. Bintan, two girls. Banat, many girls. So you have, now who can give us an ayah from the Quran where there is the dual? Aywa. Wadrib lahum mathalan rajulayni. Rajulayn here is also Muthanna, but because it's mudaf ilayh, it ends with the ya as opposed to the alif. Because you could say waladan aw waladayn. Madrasatan aw madrasatayn. Adhabu ila madrasatayn. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمَ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا مُثَنَّى بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا إلى آخره آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ نَسِيتِ الْآيَةِ سبحان الله كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ نسيت ما بهم. The idea, did you hear the dual one after the other? هذان خصمان in the Quran. These are two opponents that debated concerning, and then the ayah continues, and we have many of these examples in the Quran speaking of the dual. So now we say القائل ملكان. What does that mean now? Two angels. يأتيان. Now in Arabic it's amazing. Not only the noun can become dual, but so does the verb. Malakani يأتياني. Malakani يأتياني. Two angels will come. إلى الإنسان في قبره. To the person in his grave. ويجلسانه. If it was one, you say وَيُجْلِسَهُ. If it was many, يُجْلِسُوهُ. They will make him sit. If it's one, يُجْلِسُهُ, he will make him sit. Now duo, يُجْلِسَانِهِ, مَلَكَانِ, يَأْتِيَانِ, يُجْلِسَانِهِ. We'll continue. وَيَسْأَلَانِهِ. And they will ask him, the two angels. حَتَّى إِنَّهُ لَا يَسْمَعُ قَرْعَنِ عَالِ الْمُنْصَرِفِينَ عَنْهُ. So much so that he will be able to hear the footsteps of the people as they walk away. And mind you, according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is one of the two exceptions where people in the grave can hear you. Otherwise, we don't believe that people in the grave can hear you, because it's explicitly mentioned in the Quran. إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى. You cannot make the dead hear. وإن هذه آية وما أنت بمسمع من في القبور. Allah told Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you will not be able to make those in the grave hear you. So Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah have two exceptions. After the battle of Badr, when they were thrown in the well, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم went there and he started speaking to them, Fulan ibn Fulan, Fulan ibn Fulan, did you see, did you find what Allah promised you to be true? Because we found what Allah promised us to be true. The Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, you're speaking to the dead, because they understood the ayah that they don't hear you. So he told them that now Allah is making them hear me. At that moment, when he was addressing, Allah allowed them to hear just so they can get further regret over their disbelief. So that was the first exception. And when this information was conveyed to Aisha radiallahu anha back home, she gave that fatwa without even asking Prophet. She said, then Allah must have made them hear at that time. Because the Sahaba understood that people don't hear. The second exception is that when the person, when the people are walking away, the dead man will be able to hear them walk away. Other than that, they don't hear. So you don't go to the grave and start speaking to the dead people. That's the lesson we're trying to learn. And this closes the door for the mushrikeen among the Muslims who go to the qabr of Abdul Qadir al-Jilani and what have you, al-Ghawth, al-Ghawth, and they speak as if the person is listening to them. The person has no idea what's going on. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. This is in the Qur'an. And the other ayah, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَ وَلَا تُسْمِعُ الصُّمَّ إِذَا وَلَّوْ مُدْبِرِينَ. So, and I gave a lecture on this topic based on the concept of tawassul. Tawassul, the permissible tawassul, the innovative tawassul, and the shirk-based tawassul. According to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you can find it on YouTube on a DVD. But this is important. And we need to get this information well understood. So when we go back home, we can stop the people from, you know, worshipping these dead people. Allah told you already, اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. خلاص. And Ibrahim, when he was teaching us the Aqeedah, what did he say? فَإِنَّكُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوٌ لِي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Surah Al-Shu'ara. فَإِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عَدُوٌ لِي. فَإِنَّكُمْ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمُ الْأَقْدَمُونَ عَدُوٌ لِي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He said to the people, verily, that which you are worshipping, you and your forefathers, they are all enemies to me except رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Then he said, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ. It is Allah who created me, so He will guide me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. Allah is the one who feeds me. The rizq is from Allah. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. If I become sick, it's Allah who cures me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ. And everything was going back to Allah. This is the aqeedah you learn in the Quran. You don't learn anywhere in the Quran and Sunnah, go to the dead man and say, hey, help us out, man. We need some rain. My son is sick. Blah, blah, blah. This is shirk. This is the people of Nuh. وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدَّ وَلَا سُوَاعَ وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرَ. It's the same mentality. We're not really worshipping them, but we're trying to, you know, they are our intermediaries with Allah. شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. These are our intercessors with Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal called this blatant kufr in the Quran, and we know it from the Sunnah of the Prophet. So be careful of the shirk which has crept into the Ummah that we need to be aware of so we may fight it. Fight it with knowledge here. Not saying go take out a sword and start, you know, killing the Muslims at the gravesite. They are juhal. They are ignorant. Their maulanas are the ones who taught them this, and they don't know any better. So it becomes an obligation on the people of knowledge and the people of da'wah to convey this information to the people. Once you convey it, they don't accept that, it's with them and between them and Allah. Then you have established the hujjah, the proof against them. But to leave our relatives worshipping dead people, thinking this is part of Islam, while this is the very enemy of Islam, no. And we will be questioned. What did you do concerning your family? You came to Saudi Arabia. You became a Wahhabi. Huh? Now what? You're going to keep it to yourself? So it's not about Wahhabism, it's not about titles, it's not about names, it's not about groups, it's about did you learn the deen correctly? Alhamdulillah. I mean, all it is call Allah wa call Rasul. Notice now, you will not find them saying call Allah, call Rasul. Call Mawlana. Our Kabir, no, our Mashayikh said, you know, Sufi master said. Otherwise what Allah said is clear like the sun. You don't call on anyone but Allah. And they don't hear you. And if they heard you, they will not be able to answer you. وَلَا يُنَبِّئُكَ مِثْلُ خَبِيرٌ عجيب. يعني if you read the Quran, it's tawheed all the way. It's إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ over and over again. Anything which negates that, it will destroy someone in this life before the life to come. So Allah al-Musta'an. إذن وَهُمَا يَسْأَلَانِهِ. Now they both will ask him. ولهذا كان من هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه إذا دفن الميت وقف عليه. And then now after he's buried and he hears the people walking away, he and then they will ask him. This is why it was part of the guidance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that after he buries the deceased, he will stand there. وقف عليه, he will stand before his grave. وقال, and he will say to the people, استغفروا لأخيكم. يعني seek Allah's forgiveness for your brother. Don't ask him for anything. You ask Allah to forgive him. He needs you. You don't need him. واسألوه واسألوا له التثبيت. فإنه الآن يسأل. And ask Allah fortitude for him. Fortitude from fortress. يعني give him, ask Allah to give him firmness. To keep him firm, because verily now he is being questioned. After they bury him and they have finished the burial, then it is that time when he will be questioned. Seek Allah's forgiveness for him and ask Allah to keep him firm, as we will learn now, بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. That firm statement of truth, which will be the thing which will save someone upon burial. طيب. وورد في بعض الآثار أن اسمهما منكر ونكير. In some of the narratives, it has been narrated to us that their name was منكر and نكير. Now the Sheikh will elaborate on that, and there's a benefit in that. وأنكر بعض العلماء هذين الاسمين. أنكر, they have denied, and it's not denied. الإنكار is like forbidding something or disagreeing with it. It has multiple meanings. Like al-amr bil-ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, nahi means forbidding. To tunkir al-shay may be denying something, or tunkiruhu meaning you dislike it. You don't favor it. It's not favorable to you. Ankara ba'du al-ulama'i, you say ba'du because it's a fa'il, it's a subject of the sentence. Hadaini al-ismain, is that dual or not?
Dual.
They deny, they disliked, or they were not favoring these two names. قال, and one of the علماء said, كيف يسمى الملائكة وهم الذين وصفهم الله تعالى بأوصاف الثناء بهذين الاسمين المنكرين. We said the name was what? Munkar and Nakir. Now does the word Munkar remind you of another word? يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. And Munkar is something that is not good. So the Shaykh said, how can the angels be called that, even though Allah described them with the most, you know, praiseworthy qualities? وَضَعَفَ الْحَدِيثِ الْوَارِدِ فِي ذَلِكَ. And he said, this hadith is inauthentic. He said, the hadith which mentions their name, Rasulullah said, مَلَكَانِ أَسْوَدْ blue, they will be black and blue. They will be black and blue. أَسْوَدْ وَأَزْرَقْ. And they will be called Munkar. أحدهما اسمه Munkar والآخر Nakir. One of them is named Munkar, the other Nakir. The hadith is sahih. The hadith is sahih according to the Dhahabi and Sheikh Al-Albani and other of the ulama of hadith. So, وذهب آخرون إلى أن الحديث حجة. Others said this hadith is proof in and of itself. It's sahih. وأن هذه التسمية ليس لأنهما منكرا من حيث ذواتهما. This name of theirs is not because they themselves are something that is no good. Because munkar is evil, something that is no good. He said it's not because of that. ولكنهم منكران من حيث إن الميت لا يعرفهما. They are munkar in a sense that the person, the dead person, does not know them. Now you see the beautiful how the ulama. This is why you need scholars, because the way they bring relation between things is fascinating. Something that we don't do. Now can you think, before I give you this, and please don't read it from the book, can you think of an ayah in the Quran where that term was used, not in a negative sense, يعني not as in munkar, like ينهون عن المنكر, where munkar is reprehensible evil? Can you think of an ayah? It happened with Ibrahim. I think it's tough. That was a tough one, I must admit. But now appreciate the scholars. وليس له بهما علم سابق, because the dead doesn't know them. وقد قال إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام, Ibrahim had previously said لأضيافه الملائكة, when the angels visited him to inform him about the son he will be given and about destroying the people of Lut, huh? قال قوم منكرون. No, about the ملائكه. قوم منكرون, people that are unknown to me, because the ملائكه did not come in the form of ملائكه, they came in the form of people, handsome people. That's why the people of Lut came and wanted to go after them. So when he got the food close, حليب, some you know, كبسة, if you want to call it, and he got it close to them, he saw that their hands can't reach it. So he was afraid, and they said, don't worry. You find it in a number of ayat in the Quran. One of them, he said, قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ. So munkar doesn't necessarily mean that. It means unknown. أَنْكَرَ الشَّيْءٍ, meaning he didn't know it. It's not really positive, but it's not negative in the sense that it's evil. This is Surah Al-Dhariyat, ayah 25. قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ, meaning people unknown to me. Yani you people, you angels are unknown to me. So إِنَّهُ لَا يَعْرِفُونَ, because he doesn't know them. فَهَذَانِ مُنْكَرُ وَنَكِيرِ لِأَنَّهُمَا غَيْرَ مَعْرُفَيْنِ لِلْمَيِّتِ. Similarly, the Munkar and Nakir are called that because they're also not known to the dead. So the same way Ibrahim didn't know the angels, he said قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ, these two angels are called Munkar and Nakir because they're not known to the dead person. واضح؟ See the beauty of knowledge. Subhanallah al-Azim. ثم هذان الملكان هل هما ملكان جديدان فإن موكلان بأصحاب القبور أو هما الملكان الكاتبان اللذان عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد. Again, a lot of dual. Now these two angels, هذان الملكان, هل هما ملكان جديدان, are they new angels that are assigned for, you know, the people of the grave, or are they the same scribes which accompany you all the time on your right and on your left? طيب. That doesn't conflict with the fact that it can be Munkar and Nakir. Now here's the question, the Sheikh saying, now these two angels, are they special angels, Munkar and Nakir specifically, you know, their designation, Allah, you know, the designated task that Allah gave them is dealing with the people of the grave, or are these two angels your angels, the same ones that have been accompanying you all your life, who will be the ones asking you, but they will be called Munkar and Nakir. منهم من قال إنهم الملكان الذين يصحبان المرء. Some of the ulama said it's actually two angels that accompany you all the time. فإن لكل إنسان ملكين في الدنيا يكتبان عمله. Every person has two angels in this dunya writing his deeds. عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد. They are sitting on the right and on the left.
One writing good deeds, one writing bad deeds.
نعم. وفي القبر يسألاني هذه الأسئلة ثلاثة. And then these two angels in the grave will ask you these three questions. ومنهم من قال, other scholars said, بل هما ملكان آخران. They are two separate angels. والله عز وجل يقول, and Allah says, وما يعلم جنود ربك إلا هو. And none knows the soldiers of your Lord except Himself. Only Allah knows the vastness of His soldiers. The malaika with the jarad, the jarad in English, like the grasshopper, but it has another technical name. And the dam, the blood which Allah sent upon Fir'aun, He sent upon Fir'aun. والضفادع والقمل. These are the soldiers of Allah. Fir'aun and his people were tortured through frogs, through lice, through blood. They will cook something, and as soon as they want to eat it, it will turn to blood. This was the punishment. These are the junood of Allah. A mosquito is from the junood of Allah. A mosquito can kill someone. And we heard in recent times of brothers, yeah, we got, well, you know, one bite, khalas, subhanallah. Yeah, and we're totally helpless. Allah al-musta'an. So the Shaykh said, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ خَلْقٌ كَثِيرٌ. The angels are abundant. There are a lot. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet ﷺ said, أطت السماء وحق لها أن تأط والأطيط صرير الرحل. ما من موضع شبر أو قال أربع أصابع إلا وفيه ملك قائم لله أو راكع أو ساجد. The heaven, the skies are groaning. And the groaning here refers to the squeaking of the camel. When you ride on the camel or you place heavy stuff, that sound that comes out, you know, of heaviness, even that kind of squeaking, groaning, the heavens groan. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, and it has the total right to do so. Why? Because there isn't the distance of a hand's width, or he made four fingers, except that there's an angel standing or bowing or prostrating before Allah. Prostrating before Allah. Imagine now, in all this universe, there isn't this distance of four fingers, except there are malaika, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They don't disobey Allah concerning anything He commands them, and they do what they're commanded. Look at us on the other hand, all day fighting with Allah, in a sense that we're fighting with His commands. And don't think that this is inappropriate, because Allah said, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. War. If you indulge in riba, if you deal with riba, forget about indulge. If you deal with riba, you've declared war. If you harm a wali of Allah, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. In the Hadith Qudsi, whoever shows enmity to a close friend of mine, a righteous, pious Muslim, I have declared war against him. That person will be destroyed if they declare war against the wali from other wali of Allah. Again, wali of Allah could be anyone in this room, because Allah told us who are the awliya. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا إِشْ فَجَمَعْتَ الْخَيْرِ. You must, there are ayat you have to memorize, otherwise don't give da'wah. You won't be able to give da'wah. You can't be telling the people, there are things that are beyond. That's not the mushkila. We're not going to become ulama at the highest level. But there's basic stuff. If we cannot define the wali, and we're dealing with one of the grave worshippers, how will we deliver the message? His concept of wali is someone who has a shrine over his grave. Someone who people visit, put flowers, bakhur, whatever, and you can give him letters, so he gives you supposedly besides Allah. This is the concept of wali among the Muslims, in most of the Muslim world. But that's not the wali in the book of Allah. Allah told us, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Listen now. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ. Verily, the awliya of Allah, لا خوف عليهم. There should be no خوف, a fear over them. ولا يحزنون, nor shall they grieve. Who are they? As if someone, and ulama say, when Allah said that, it's as if one of us is saying, who are they, O Allah? So the answer came على طول. Allah gave us the answer على طول. الذين آمنوا, those who believed, وكانوا يتقون. كانوا now indicates consistency. They always used to have taqwa. Yani anytime they're in a situation where they're going to disobey Allah, say, hey, they hold back, they stop. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. That's it. You believe, you have taqwa, you're a wali of Allah. Now the higher the iman, the higher the taqwa, the greater the wilaya you have with Allah. Otherwise, every believer has a share of it. So it is not someone who the people make a wali, it's someone who has taqwa of Allah with sound iman. Not the iman of Ash'ari, or the Mu'tazila, or the Jahmiya. No. The iman of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That which we have been learning. Alhamdulillah. That iman, with the righteous deeds, that's the one that will give you the wilayah. So when you reach this point, you will become a real righteous servant of Allah. As the hadith explained, you will become Allah will become the eyes with which you see. And it doesn't mean that in the literal sense. It means that you only see things which are pleasing to Allah. You can't see haram. وَالْسَمَعَ الَّذِي يَسْمَعْ بِهِ and the ears with which, إِلْ آخِرِهِ. You reach a level of ihsan, يعني. You're always mindful of Allah. We ask Allah to give us this quality, man. This is a very important quality. So that's besides the point. So then, we are the ones who actually violate. The malaika, none of that. One of them is either bowing, or standing, or doing sujood. Always and forever. We are the ones who go back and forth. Only the human being is the kafir. In this sense, after shaitan. the human being and the jinn. But the shajar, the trees, al-shamsu wal-qamar, al-nujum, al-samawat, al-ard, everything submits to Allah. Everything is a Muslim. And everything glorifies Allah. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. And there isn't anything except that it glorifies Allah. You don't understand the glorification. That's why Allah made the kafir worse than the cow, and worse than the dog, and worse than the camel, and worse than the sheep. When Allah described the kuffar, إِنْهُمْ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلِّ. Nay, they are like the cattle, they are more astray. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. It is those who are heedless. So Allah made them more astray than the animals, because the animals remember Allah, they submit to Allah, the kafir is the one who rejects. So the animal becomes better than the kafir. This is the same one that we imitate. This is the problem. This low life, lowly kafir, who to Allah is worse than an animal, Muslims today are obsessed with imitating them, inwardly and outwardly. And that negates true iman. True iman makes you want to stand out and distinguish yourself from the first hair on your head to your toenails. You don't want anything to do with things that are specific to the kuffar. That's just the mentality. And of course this can be elaborated on, but again this is not the time. إذن والسماء واسعة الرجاء. This the heaven, now we're saying that every four fingers there's an angel doing that, and the heavens is not the thing you see when you look up you know, outside the window. It's way more than that. والسماء بنيناها بأيد وإنا لموسعون. And the skies we have created with power, and verily we will be expanding it. So they actually continue to expand, and it's beyond the universe. You're not speaking about the sama of the earth. Have you looked at the universe and the various planets and how the whole, you know, the unit we're in, there are other and other planets and other planets, and they're all part of different zones and what have you, until all that. Malaika worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said, فالمهم أنه لا غرابة أن ينشي الله عز وجل لكل مدفون ملكين يرسلهما إليه. So the Shaykh said, there's no nothing strange then that Allah will create for every person who's buried two angels that will ask him. Because Allah has so many, عز وجل. والله على كل شيء قدير. Allah is able to do all things. قوله من ربك. Now the statement of the ملك. من ربك. Who's your Lord? يعني من ربك الذي خلقك وتعبده وتخصب العبادة. Who is the Lord, who is the master that created you and that you single out in your ibadah, in your slavery and your worship? Ibadah means slavery and worship. Not only worship, because you can worship Allah in the masjid and go back out and disobey Him. You're not a slave of Allah, you're a worshipper of Allah. And you're not really complete, you're not fulfilling the meaning of ibadah. Ibadah is worship during the rituals, siyam, zakah, hajj, and slavery outside. Slavery, you're a slave. You're always obeying Allah at work, outside, wherever you go, you're a slave. Otherwise, worshippers, we have thousands, millions of them. They pray five times a day, and between the salawat, don't ask about what's happening. In Ramadan, outside Ramadan, that's not a slave of Allah. This is someone who worships Allah occasionally. The true ibadah is slavery. Total submission, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, or 29 depending on the lunar month, on the moon sighting, until you pass away. وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. And continue to worship and enslave yourself for Allah until death comes to you. It's a never-ending mission. لأجل أن تنتظم هذه الكلمة توحيد الربوبية وتوحيد الألوهية. So we will understand this, then they will be asking about توحيد الربوبية, your Lord and Master, وتوحيد الألوهية, your object of worship. وقوله ما دينك, they will ask him, what's your religion? يعني ما عملك الذي تدين به لله عز وجل وتتقرب به إليه. What is the deed then with which you, what is the religion with which you get closer to Allah and you enslave yourself to Allah through that religion or through that deed. والثالث من نبيك, who is your prophet? من النبي الذي تؤمن به وتتبعه. Who is the prophet in whom you believe and you follow? So that is it for now. Next week, inshallah, if we all remain alive and healthy, we will continue with the elaboration on the ayah in Surah Ibrahim, which we should be familiar with concerning the condition of the person, the people in the grave. We will actually go into the grave in this sense and see what are the answers and why, and the conditions of the people in the grave, whether believer, disbeliever or hypocrite, as we have previously categorized them. And with this, inshallah, we conclude. وسبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.